It is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show this morning for you on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, at KCIM. We have got Jeff Blankman, Mason Elin in studio with us, and we got a guest on the phone that we're going to talk to this week, getting ready to start potentially a soccer program for youth and adults in the area. So a really, really good, interesting thing we've got going on that could be happening for people that enjoy the game of soccer coming
up. And it's a growing sport, especially, you know, amongst the young people in our area and around the world. And Damon Herrick going to be joining us here. He's the ESAC boys soccer coach. Was a great player up there. And in his second year, just wrapped up his second year as the head coach for the boys. And he's got an idea that I think is going to be a great idea. And we'd like to help him promote it a little bit. Damon, appreciate you joining us. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thank you guys for having me. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. It's an early Tuesday morning, and we love it. So thanks for coming on with us here today, Damon. Let's talk a little bit. You had kind of mentioned that you have a 3-on-3 soccer, league that you'd like to get started in the area. You said you played in one at one time. I think it was over in Denison. Tell us a little bit about that league and how that maybe helped you and why you think that another different league could help the kids here in this area.
Well, the old boys soccer coach for ESAC, Sam Ellis, is involved heavily down in Denison, and he got our whole high school team and some of the graduated kids in on a Denison like rec league program that was kind of just like a show up and play type of thing. And I mean, it was 11-on-11 when we were going because they had that many people wanting to play, and it's kind of dwindled down. I don't know what exactly happened, but I was just got done coaching, and I wanted, some of the boys were asking if there's like off season things we can do and camps I can send them to. And I'm like, why don't we start something local? Because, like you were just talking, soccer's a growing sport. And, I think it's not like, there's not enough opportunities around our area because, I mean, you can go to Omaha and play in a 3-on-3 league and go to Denison. But I mean, other than that, there's really nothing to go and play. And I'm sure there's a lot of kids out there that want to play soccer year round. And this is kind of an opportunity where maybe we can get something going.
Now, Damon, are you thinking about having this open for, you know, people in the Sac County area? Is this an everybody thing? Kind of, I know it's early and still getting the ball rolling, but kind of what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I invited all the boys that went out for soccer this year to form some teams amongst each other. Or I said, if you want to find some graduated kids that you played with last year or 2 years ago, form a little 3-to-4-man team. And if we can get enough registration, I mean, we can get something going. And I'm like, I mean, there's year-round soccer or people that practice soccer year-round all around the area that, just like I said, don't have anywhere to go and play and kind of continue on, I mean, playing the whole year and getting better. So small-sided games like 3-on-3 is like the perfect time to work on your touches, work on your passes, and, I mean, make the game quicker for yourself. So, I mean, yeah, Sac County, but, I mean, it'd be cool to get people from Carroll, Denison, or, like, up north, like Pocahontas, that area, because I know they have rec programs that, I mean, are getting over right now, and maybe they were looking for something to play.
Where are you hoping, Damon, to have the league be held at, and how many, like, available fields and stuff? So, like, would you be able to have multiple 3-on-3 or 4-on-4 events going on at the same time?
Yeah, the field size for a 3-on-3 regulation is like a 20-by-30. So we're going to be having it in Lakeview at the ESAC County High School on the practice field right next door. And through like just measurement, you can get about 3 fields. So I have 3 pairs of goals being made right now. So, I mean, everything's kind of in motion. It's just as long as we can get some people out and, I mean, make it a fun weekend for people, just Saturdays.
Well, Damon, a lot of us know kind of what entails for 11-on-11 soccer. Talk to us about 3-on-3 soccer, what that kind of works on, what that kind of looks like compared to the traditional form of soccer.
So we ran it in practice because numbers were, I mean, slimmer. So, I mean, you have to play these small-sided games. And throughout the year, we were constantly doing like 3-on-3s, 4-on-4s, and just the quick touches. I mean, you don't really have a lot of time to think. I mean, you're turning and the goal's only 10 yards in front of you. So it forces you to be quick. It forces you to be soft with the ball. You can't mess up because, I mean, they take the ball from you. They have a wide open shot. So it just teaches you to be good on your feet, handle the ball well, and, I mean, quick thinking.
When are you thinking about starting this league? And if people want to join and everything like that, who do they need to reach out to?
You can reach out to me. I just was thinking if people want to send me a text or give me a call. If I could get a registration link, like through Google Docs or something, that'd be cool. But I think the texting thing kind of forms like a personal connection, and like I can ask them more questions. And if they have any more questions they want to ask me that they didn't hear on the radio, they can definitely reach out. But yeah.
Damon, is there an age range you want? Do you want like young kids? Do you want older adults, being a part of this? What's kind of that age range you're hoping for, or is there one?
We're looking right now at like a freshman, like incoming freshman, and anybody who's an adult. I mean, if they're willing to come play, I mean, the games aren't super long. It's not going to be hard on you. It's just really fun and exciting. So I would say freshman in high school, and then Jeff, if you want to come play, you can form a team.
I think only if I can bring these two guys with me.
Hey, that works. As long as you got three people, you guys can definitely form a team.
Well, Mason's told me he's got some mad ball handling skills, so maybe we can check that out.
Perfect. Nope, that sounds good.
So tell us a little bit again, how long will this league run, and all this stuff? And I'm guessing that this is something that you would like to keep year after year.
Oh, 100%. Okay. We're looking at I'm going to call it like a preseason weekend if the goals are done next Saturday. So that would be the 13th of June. But, for sure, if we get enough teams, the 20th of June will be like the start of the, actual season. So, and then that'll run until early August. And then I think we're going to skip out on the weekend of the July 4th.
Is there plans to do this year round? Like if you can get one of the high schools in there to do, because I know like a lot of the schools in the area, when they're doing open gyms, they do stuff in the winter, inside the gyms. Is there plans to do this year round, or is this kind of just looking at a summer, a little bit of fall type thing?
Mostly a summer thing. I'm going to have to talk to my AD because he knows a lot more about the restrictions, but being a coach, I mean, there's times when you can't like be working with the kids and like mm-hmm. directly coaching them. So I don't know if I'd be in trouble for forming this league, so I'd have to just check with him. But, I mean, if it could go year-round, I mean, obviously not in the winter, but early spring, most of the summer, and then, I mean, the fall would be cool. But, no, I think right now we're just looking at the summer, and then, I mean, if it picks up and we get enough people, that'd be perfect.
Damon, I know right now you're just worried about getting a few teams and kind of getting it off the ground, but have you thought of, I can't do more than this amount of teams? Is there a max that you could get to?
The number we've been looking at is 18 teams, just to kind of keep it so that if somebody does play, so we're looking at like 10 a.m. to, 10 a.m. to 3:30, and that kind of played everybody two or three times a Saturday, which is probably the ideal amount but it's just if someone plays at 10 a.m., you're not making them wait till 3:30 p.m. to play another game. So, expect to play two games every Saturday and, be out of there in a good, timely manner.
You talk about, just getting touches, and I think every sport, that's what coaches hope that kids get during the off season. So what are the skills that you really can work on with 3-on-3, and how important is it to get those kind of touches in that type of a format?
It works heavily on, give and goes, one-touch passes, something that when you can master and put into like a high school game or a collegiate game or something like that, I mean, it just speeds the game up and makes it way harder for the defense, or it makes it smoother for the offense on the other side of it to, I mean, score goals or, I mean, prevent goals. So it just, like I said, it just teaches you to be so quick with, I mean, your thought process. So.
Well, Damon, I tell you what, anything else you want to add here today?
Yeah, we're looking at, so I said June 13th, June 13th for like the preseason. So if we could be registered like the 10th or the 11th, that would be perfect. Just shoot me a text at 712-790-8761. I'm sure there's a bunch of things I'm forgetting, but I have a whole list here. So if anybody has any questions, just add it into the text. We heavily want or like push for spectators. I mean, you don't have to play. I mean, we're looking for refs if anybody wants to just ref it. But like spectators, and we'll have like a light concession stand. So if people want to come get some Gatorade water, snacks, something like that, I mean, it'll all be there. So
what's the deadline for people to get a team in?
We're looking at the 10th of June.
Okay.
And if anybody like cannot find a team, still shoot me a text, because I mean, if we get three people who are all looking for a team that don't have anybody, I mean, we'll just group them together and they'll form. But also, we're looking at $20 a player, which will come with a shirt, and we might color coordinate shirts, so that's kind of your jersey. But if people want to rep Real Madrid's jersey and all three of them are wearing it, I mean, go ahead. I mean,
is that your favorite team, Beans? That's the one that popped to mind.
Yeah, I grew up with Ronaldo, the whole Ronaldo Messi debate. I was always on the Ronaldo side, so that's kind of why I wore 7 in high school. But I mean, I'm always up for debate on that.
Sounds like Mason and I with LeBron and Jordan.
it's the exact same thing.
Well, I tell you what, David, we appreciate you joining us here today. Let me know how this is going, and hopefully you can get enough people here established and get some teams up there playing here before the month of June ends.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for giving me the opportunity to get it out there. If you guys need anything from me as well, like if people get a hold of you and need some kind of connection, I mean, yeah, just shoot me a text or something.
Okay, will do. Absolutely. Thanks, Damon.
All right, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, that was Damon there, Eek head coach of the ESAC boys.
Yep.
You know, I believe coming off year number two, did a great job, I think this past season with them. And a good thing to keep, I think, just youth, you know, especially kids around the area playing year-round. And I think that this could be a really good thing, and you could see a lot of kids come off with success from this.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned in there that, you know, it doesn't matter what sport. You always hear coaches get touches, get shots, you know, whatever, whatever it is for their sport. The more you handle the ball or the more you work on it, the more natural and the better everything's going to come for everybody. And I hope that they get this thing established, and then, we'll have to find you guys a third.
No. My soccer playing days are well behind me.
You were on the high school team, right? Both of you guys play a little high school soccer here in town, right? Yeah. That's why I kind of threw it out there that maybe you two. I'm old enough that I'd be tired. The field's only like 25.
Yeah.
I'd be tired after the first 5 feet. So,
We used to do 3-on-3 in practice, and I was always the one behind the goal because I didn't want to run all that far, even though it wasn't very far.
Yeah. So, and Mason, you're kind of quiet, you know, all those, you know, skills and, yeah. No?
Absolutely not.
He's still sleeping over here.
That's the problem. He's still sleeping as he sits stretching over there trying to wake up this morning.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that, the whole 3-on-3. Possibly, but I wasn't an elite soccer player in high school. We'll just put it that way.
You were elite, though, when you were younger, right?
No.
No? Okay.
No. He's honest. At least he's honest.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been good at soccer.
You better, right?
For maybe it would either, either make him better or make us look like we're fools out there.
Well, that's why I want to come video it.
And that was Damon Esak, boys head soccer coach there up there at Esak. We'll step away, take a break. We'll talk some local sports when we come back this morning on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show.
Tired of dragging out the mop and vacuum? The new Recar R70 Smart Mop does both at once. Stop into Rutten's Vacuum Center during June and test drive the Recar R70 Smart Mop and get entered to win one for yourself. Rutten's Vacuum Center, keeping Iowa homes clean for over 71 years.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show this morning for you on Western Iowa's Information Leader, as well as your classic hit station, 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. Casey Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon, all in studio with you talking high school sports and more. First, before we get into high school sports, guys, final starts tonight. I just want to make sure Jeff Honnold's listening.
Yes.
NBA finals start tonight.
He will be watching.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. And if he's on the road, he'll DVR it so that he can watch it. You know, he'll sit down at 3 a.m. Just to watch the NBA. Kind of like it was, you guys probably don't even know this, when I was a kid, the NBA finals were on tape delay.
Really?
So you didn't get to watch them live. They would replay them after the evening news, you know, at night, you know, and stuff. So if you were lucky enough that you could stay up late enough, or you could sneak down, you know, and get to the TV without mom or dad or both, you know, knowing, you could watch the NBA finals. But yeah, it wasn't until Bird and Magic kind of, you know, came on the scene that they finally realized that people wanted to watch the NBA finals and started to put them on live. But yeah, I know you guys were both pretty young, but yeah, so Honnold, he likes to stay in that old school because he's kind of an old school guy. So a lot of times he just tape delays himself the NBA finals.
And he'll watch it later when we get home. Sounds like Jeff, whenever Nebraska football's on, he's got to DVR it and go back and watch it.
Yep. That doesn't mean that I don't follow it while it's going on, but people are like, you watch it when they lose? And I'm like, yep, I do. I watch every game.
I knew the final score already, I could not go back and watch it.
Really? Mm-mm. See, I can still probably pull up almost every one of the Nebraska football games from the last 2 or 3 years on my TV and go back and watch them.
Now, I'm weird, though, because the BTN does the Big Ten in 60.
Yep.
So, like, I'll watch the Big Ten in Iowa 60s, but only if they win. Only if it's matchups that they win. Because I don't want to be disappointed all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. I guess it's not any easier for me when Nebraska loses. No. I still get upset and frustrated, and it ruins my entire weekend. But, you know, the weekend's already ruined because they lost. So, it doesn't affect me anymore to go back and rewatch. But, NBA Finals, favorites. Who's winning, you guys?
I like to say the Spurs, but do you think the Knicks have a better shot of beating the Spurs now that the Thunder aren't in there?
I said the Spurs, and I tell you what, I watched that Game 7 against OKC, and I was thoroughly impressed because I always said it, Wemby's on track to be the greatest player of all time if he stays the way he is, but he can get hurt because of his frame, but Luke Kornet might have had one of the best plays in Game 7 history with that block on Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, he chased him from half court, comes up and blocks it, momentum swings that way, and you saw a bunch of guys like Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle and those guys that are year 2, year 3 guys, even Harper being a rookie, that are making big shots, and that just, it makes you excited to watch a team when, first off, they're not playing unethical basketball, and I know hopefully Jackson Kerrigan's listening, the Thunder play unethical basketball, and second off, they're so young that you know they're going to get better.
If they can keep this team together, they have a chance.
Eventually, they're going to have to pay everybody.
Yep, absolutely, and that'll be the interesting thing. The only question I have is that the Knicks are really playing
very good
basketball right now. I mean, they made the East look pretty horrible besides themselves. Now, they've had how many days? 8 or 9 days off, so you wonder if that will impact. But as well as they were playing through the Eastern Conference, I give them a chance. I still probably would pick San Antonio to win because I just think the West is a little better. But I think if there's a year that the East can jump in and maybe steal one, I think this could be the year that does it. And part of that is the youth of San Antonio may show up in the NBA Finals, and maybe instead of Harper hitting those big shots, you know, you're in the NBA finals, it's a little different, you know, that maybe the pressure gets to them. Who knows?
Yeah, I think the Spurs win it just because I feel like they've been more battle-tested this postseason than the Knicks have.
Yep.
And I do want to say, I remember when Brunson went to New York and everybody was like, oh, Brunson's not a number one option. Well, look at him now.
Yeah.
He's leading the team to an NBA finals and averaging, yep, what, 26 or something like that in the finals? So he's been crazy.
He's their heartbeat, him and probably Josh Hart. Now, I will say this, as a Bulls fan, I hope the Spurs roll them in four, and I don't hope it. I hope none of the games are competitive. You know, as a Bulls fan, there's a deep hatred that runs for me with the Knicks, so I certainly will not be, you know, cheering for them. So
I think the Knicks get at least two, but I think Spurs win it at six.
Yeah, I could see that. I just don't know because, like Jeff said, you know, that youth you never know with. But I said it this way: New York hasn't really had to face anyone. The Hawks, they're all right. And then they beat, what, the Sixers, I believe? And they blew the Sixers out and then beat my Cavs. And, I mean, they beat up on the Cavs anyway. But if you look at San Antonio, they've had to play Anthony Edwards. You've had to play Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is probably, you know, one of the best, if not the best player in the NBA. So I think that they're probably in better shape to win the finals.
Yeah, again, game one Wednesday. I thought I said tonight, but it's Wednesday. I had to double check myself. Wednesday for Spurs and Knicks. Local sports-wise, soccer still rolling on. The last of our spring sports teams, the Kemper girls, have been great this season. They'll be back in action tonight.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'm going to try and swing. I do have a media day that I've got to run to this evening and stuff, but I should hopefully be back in time to be able to stop at the stadium here in town and check out their match. Two good teams. Humboldt comes in 11-3-3 on the year. The Kemper girls 15-2-1. I think Kemper kind of does what they need to do in this round and moves through. Humboldt's got a good team, but I don't know if they've faced really anybody maybe as good as what this Kemper team is yet this year. Just looking at their schedule, and that's not to take anything away from the teams that they've played, but when you look at the comparable scores between who both Humboldt and Kemper have played, Kemper's won more comfortably than what Humboldt has. Now, that doesn't always mean anything, but I think it will here. From what I do understand, I think it might have been you that told me yesterday, Casey, that Humboldt's got one really good goal scorer and stuff, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off after that. So I think Kemper's defense has been really good. The question is, I understand that Addie's Antover is injured. I don't know if she's going to be back, but Millie has seen some time in goal for them this year and has done really well when she's had that opportunity. But it does put, I think, a little bit more pressure on the defense in front of her, you know, to be able to slow down anything that Humboldt's trying to do and not have too much pressure being put on Millie. And what I'm meaning by that, if she has to face 20 or 30 shots on goal tonight, that could affect Kemper. So I think their overall defense has got to play well.
That'd be the key for tonight. We talk about Kemper's offense all the time, but the defense has got to be tip-top, I think, tonight, you know, if they want to come out with a big win.
Yeah, I mean, you lose your goalkeeper you had all year. I think Millie's been playing the last 5 games or something. And so she's ready. But the weird thing, and we kind of talked about this, Kemper's blown enough teams out this year that they haven't seen a lot of shots on goal. So if you come out and you kind of punch them in the mouth, you're going to make them make a decision of, do we hunker down on defense or do we kind of shy away? And knowing Ken and knowing the girls, they're probably going to, you know, lock in on defense. So you really got to start this game hot if you're Humboldt. And for Kemper, you got to hope that your back line, who has been stellar all season, can kind of regain that what they've had throughout the entire year.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of games, including their win over Wright County the other night, where they didn't have to defend a shot at all. And they're explosive offensively, and we've talked about that all year. What gets me with them is how quickly they can go on runs. You know, that was a 7-0 game at the end of the first half the other night against Wright County. They put 3 goals on the board in less than 5 minutes to end that game 10-0. So they've got that explosive ability.
You know, Riley Massey has been flat fantastic, you know, here all season long. You know how good Sierra Pudens is. She's going on to play college soccer, and she's probably one, if not the best, one of the best that we've ever seen in this area. So, and they have other firepower beyond them. So I think for Kemper, if they can get out quickly and put some pressure on Humboldt, that they can maybe run away with it. But I think Mason's right. I think Humboldt, if they come out and get a shot or get a couple of goals quick or something and maybe catch Kemper off guard, things could get kind of interesting.
Yeah, so. I agree. Two boys teams ended their season last week before we got the chance to talk. Kemper and Carroll both lost in their semifinal games.
Yep.
Carroll lost at Perry, and then Kemper, I think, hosted
at home to Tri-Center.
Yeah, hosted Tri-Center, and they ended up losing there. But two great seasons that they had.
Yeah, and I think in my recap interview with Gary, I asked him, is this the greatest season in Carroll history? And I think he pretty much agreed that it probably was, and you guys know that senior class. That's a special group. I think that was a group that really enjoyed soccer. And then you throw Jared Moore and Jake Jorgensen coming in this year, having not been out before, and they added something. I think the success that those two had in basketball this past year, especially, they came in with a lot of confidence and just brought that confidence in with them. And then you match them up with, like, you know, the Polking kids and everything and all the success they had in wrestling. So I think you look at the success that these kids had, and that's where I talk about multi-sport athletes and kids being willing to participate. Winning breeds winning. So you have all of these kids that had success in the winter sports season, and then they all combine together in the spring sports season. And what's that lead to? It leads to success. And it wasn't because they sat around and did nothing, you know, but work on, you know, soccer in the winter. They went out and competed and had success in other sports and stuff. So that's why, to me, playing multiple sports, you know, benefits you in the sport that you really care about. And hopefully we can get that message across, because we're seeing numbers starting to dwindle really bad in a lot of things. But, what a great year. And Mason, I know that you were really excited about this team when the season started.
Yeah, and you could just tell. I kind of said it when we talked in our interview. You know, it's been 4 years of getting these kids ready that were seniors, the Kieran and Quentin Polkings, Landon Peterson. I mean, all those kids, it's been 4 years of, you know, we're going to sit back and we have some bad teams. We've had some rough years, and now you get this kind of culmination between Luis, Sawyer, Landon, Kieran, Quentin, Peter, Jared, Jake, all those guys out there that you kind of just hit. You hit gold at the right time there. And for Carroll, you know, a tough loss to Perry. And, you know, I was out there at the Little League Fields and talked to Gary McGill, and he said you could see, and he's like, you hate to see it, but you like to see it at the same time. The kids were upset. They were physically, and you could see it in their body language that meant something to them. Yep. So that's what, you know, he was saying there is that, you know, you hate to see it because they're hurt, but you like to see it that it meant something to them to actually go out there, and when they lost, that it meant something to them.
Yeah, and we see that a lot with kids, you know, when that last game is played. And for Kemper, I think they were a little bit disappointed. I think they felt they could get that game. But I know when I talked with Ken, and you've got Ken coming up today to talk a little bit more about the girls' team. But when we recapped the season with him, that loss of Fletch late in the season, I think they still had the potential to be really good. But I think that got into the guys' heads. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the guys felt they were as good a team without Fletch on the field as what they were when he was there. And with that injury happening as late in the season as it did, I just don't know if there was enough time for them to realize that they were still really good and that they could go out and do some things. And you know, so that, you know, you feel sorry so much for Fletch, such a great young guy, you know, but, you know, you never want him to get injured. But in a way, what I'm kind of saying is if that injury would have occurred 3 weeks earlier and they would have had, you know,
more time.
And like I said, I'm not saying I wanted him to get hurt 3 weeks earlier. If they'd have just had more time to be able to play without him, I think when that injury happened really affected them and affected them in their postseason run.
Yeah, and Ken said the same thing when he talked to me. He's like, you know, you lose him 5 minutes into the Denison game and 2 weeks before the postseason. You don't really have enough time between playing games and a couple of practices to find kind of that new rhythm there. And I think that's what really killed them, is that they didn't have that rhythm that they had with Fletch, because they got hot with him out there. And then when you lose him, your midfield just kind of becomes void compared to what it was before.
I completely agree. I thought that, and I think that with what Kemper was last season and what they lost last year coming into this year, I don't think, you know, most people would have thought that they would have had the season that they did, knocked off Carroll, and then what went on, I think, dropped their first two games and went on like a 5 or 6 game winning streak there at one point throughout the season. So you can speak to the great season that Kemper had, you know, with having to replace a bunch of guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we can't forget, both Carroll and ESAC girls soccer had their season come to an end late last week as well. ESAC lost to that Humboldt team that that Kemper gets tonight. And I know when I was talking with Coach Babe last week, they really wanted to get past that game, and stuff. There's a friendly, nice rivalry, I think, between ESAC and Kemper. They know each other well, and I think Coach just felt like if they would have had another opportunity. They're going to be graduating a really good senior class. Sarah Bontrager, Chloe Barrett, Jordan Carroll, just to name a few off the top of my head. So there's going to be some different faces that are going to have to kind of take over that ESAC team next year. And then for Steph Jorgensen and the Carroll girls, they just keep battling. I think she does a really, really good job with that program. But they've got to find some success at some point, and they keep getting a little bit better, and hopefully one of these years they'll be able to kind of break through and turn that corner. Just had to seem like this year a lot of times they have a hard time getting shots. I don't know, Mason, you saw them more than I did this year. I think I saw them play 4 or 5 times. But it just seems like they struggle to get shots, and it's hard to win when the ball's down on the wrong end of the field for you a lot. And I think that'll be something that they'll work on in the offseason.
Yeah, and it helps when you play some of the elite soccer teams.
Yes.
So they get a chance to be better, but they move to the Hawkeye 10 next year, and they still play some pretty elite teams as well, St. Albert, Kemper. I mean, you're going to have some really good teams in there, so they're going to not really drop off in that aspect, but they've got to realize that you're used to playing the styles of fast, moving the ball around, playing really offensively-minded stuff against the Raccoon River teams. I think the Hawkeye 10's more defensive-centric, as you find St. Albert's got a good defense, Kemper's got a good defense. So you're going to have to kind of change and kind of reinvent yourself as you leave the Raccoon River as well.
Right. Yeah. I think soccer just in general this year was really good for the area. We took a big step forward and everything like that. Not that it was bad or anything, but you saw a lot of teams that really found some success this year.
Well, we had 3 of them that we thought would have a chance to get to, you know, district finals or sub-state finals or regional finals, you know, and stuff, and maybe a couple of them had real legitimate chances to be playing down in Des Moines. One's still alive to do that, so, we'll see. Hopefully they can build off the success.
Yeah, we will step away. We'll take a break. We'll talk some baseball and softball when we come back here on KCIM Sports Rewind here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM.
This is Ken Pingree. I've had the privilege of serving Carroll County as sheriff, and now I'm asking for your support as Republican candidate for Carroll County Supervisor, District 4. I'll work hard for every citizen and always be available to listen. I'm Ken Pingree, and I'd appreciate your vote on June 2nd, paid for by Pingree for Supervisor.
Stock up and save all week at your Carroll Hy-Vee. Grab Pepsi 12-pack cans for just $5.99 each when you buy 3. And Frito-Lay party-sized chips are only $3.99 when you buy 3. Perfect for cookouts, game nights, and family gatherings. Stop in today and save at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
It is the CB Sports Network Rewind Show for you this morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. We're back talking some high school and baseball. Softball is the summer sports season, I know, got rolling before state track got started, but first official week, really, that everybody has been in action and playing multiple games, and it's been a crazy busy week last week, and it's going to be a crazy busy week again this week of baseball and softball.
Yeah, you get the 6 days a week of games where there's no more Wednesdays off now, and a lot of teams will play. This past weekend we had was supposed to be 7 teams and 12 softball games over the weekend on Saturday, but we ended up having Coon Rapids Baird blew a tire and on a Suburban on the way up to ESAC County, and they ended up having to cancel that game because they couldn't get the team to Wall Lake. And then ESAC was going to host two regular games, not a tournament. They were going to host Coon, and then right after that, Manson Northwest Webster. Because of soccer, they had to rearrange, mm-hmm. you know, their softball schedule a little bit. So both teams had agreed to play in Wall Lake back-to-back games. Well, then the rain came and ended up washing out their game against Manson Northwest Webster. So now they've got to try and reschedule those two games again. But you know, you had Carroll and Kemper both went over to Ogden to the tournament and played a couple of games. I wish Ogden would do me a favor. Years ago, they used to, like, play both of them in the morning so I could go over and I could stand in between the two fields, and Kemper would be on one field and Carroll would be on the other field, and I could watch both. I hate to put it this way. My life's busy enough that I don't want to go stand in Ogden for 8 hours. So this year what they did is they played Carroll's both games in the morning, and then Kemper played both of their games in the afternoon. And I'm like, I've got graduations to go to. I've got other things going on. I can't just go over. And it was easy when I could go stand in Ogden for like 3 hours and watch four games. I'm like, I don't have 8 hours to stand over there, so I was not able. Plus, I was scheduled to do the ESAC and Coon game. But, yeah, you had them. You had Arweva and Ikea Manning both went over to Bouyer Valley. Glidden Ralston went up to the Newell tournament. So we had a lot of area teams in action. Ikea Manning baseball played over at Maple Valley, Anthonoda, Charter Oak Ute. So, yeah, you can say the baseball and softball season now in full swing.
I think this year we're going to get more Saturday games just because of the way that the association and the union have changed the schedules with less dates.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get more Saturday tournaments this year, and I think that's what it was originally designed for, was to get more Saturday tournaments and stuff like that. But I think it's going to, you're going to see a lot more Saturdays this year.
I wonder if that's going to benefit, though. And the reason I say that is when I first came to town here, there wasn't a weekend that you didn't have tournaments. And baseball tournaments back then were Saturday and Sunday because they would bring in eight teams play, you know, all day on Saturday, and then you'd have, you know, a round before the semis and the championship game. A lot of times would be Sunday night at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and you'd get out of there at 10 o'clock at night.
I played baseball at Carroll when Carroll and Kemper both did their Saturday and Sunday tournament, where you'd play, you know, you'd have your three teams in four different pods, and you'd play two games on Saturday, and then you'd match up the pods with the first place, second place, and all that stuff, you know, on Sunday. And Carroll and Kemper used to both do that, and now that's just a day tournament.
Yeah, and softball always kind of stayed with the one day. Baseball always was able to do the two, but softball's always – but I will say that the numbers started to dwindle, and one of the things that I always heard was kids, they didn't want to be busy every single weekend having to be in tournaments. Now, some did. The ones that really loved that sport, you know, I think were okay. But I think for a lot of kids, they wanted to be able to have some Saturdays and Sundays where maybe if they wanted to go to the lake or, you know, go somewhere with the family or go do something else. But when every weekend was a tournament, and if we're going back to that, and the numbers are already low, is this going to help the sport or is this going to hurt the sport? I don't know. I'm just a little concerned because I do remember, you know, 15 years ago, kids complaining about, oh, we play in five tournaments over the weekend, you know, over the summer, and that's five weekends where my whole weekend's shot, you know, and stuff. And when you have two sports that are struggling to get numbers, putting a bunch of stuff on weekends, is that going to benefit or is that going to hurt?
I just think that, not that the state's doomed themselves with baseball and softball in the summer, because they'll never change it. To me,
and they shouldn't.
Yeah, to me, baseball and softball is meant to be played in the summer. Yep. That's where you should keep it. The spring is too busy now with you know, golf and everything, and you can't move it to the spring.
No, if you move it to the spring, you're just killing off some other sports that are already there, or you're not helping baseball and softball any. I know a lot of people will say we're the only state, you know, everybody else. You look at Minnesota and South Dakota and all of these states that are up north, they hardly get a game in during their high school season, and then they just play Legion ball in the summer.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. You've got to look at how many states have it sanctioned, though, because I know South Dakota does not have sanctioned baseball.
Yep.
They just play Legion ball, Legion in the spring and in the summer. So you've got to look at how many states have it sanctioned and what sports they have sanctioned in that in that season, you know, because every state's different.
Yeah, and even colleges. Right now, college baseball and college softball, there's been some discussion of pushing the season later, in late spring instead of starting in February and stuff with games. And I think it might have been you were talking about that yesterday. And you know, I think that would be a great move. So even college is starting to realize that playing, you know, too early and playing in the, you know, the spring when it's not nice. There's not many baseball and softball coaches I talk to that want to be out there in 38 degree weather, and I don't think you're going to get too many kids that want to be out there in 38-degree weather. Even our college baseball kids that have to shovel the field before they play don't enjoy that aspect of playing college baseball.
I saw something, I think it was yesterday on Twitter, and it was two Iowa and Nebraska guys talking about, you know, Nebraska losing to the regionals and then Iowa not making it. And,
sure, you had to bring that up.
Well, but it's even worse to make it.
I know.
And then they were like, well, it doesn't help when Iowa has to play D3 teams in the middle of the week. Well, you're not going to get a warm weather team that's going to want to travel up to Iowa and play, you know, those early spring games. And plus, Iowa's got a restriction where during the week they can only travel so far.
Right.
So it sucks when, in that aspect too, like maybe if you do push the season back a couple weeks or a month, you might be able to get some more teams to come up and play you, so you're not having to play those D3 middle of the week games where you're not really, you know, you're getting a game in, but how much better is a team like Iowa who's playing Loras or Wartburg better in the middle of the week?
I think Iowa and Nebraska and teams up north would benefit from the season starting later because, as I said to you when we talked about it yesterday, if you're from the South, or even if you're a great high school player in Nebraska or Iowa, some of them are going to say, I want to go play for the team that I've always rooted for and my in-state team. But if you're being recruited by LSU and Tennessee and Texas, and you're from, you know, Iowa, and you could go big time, are you going to come play at the University of Iowa or go over to Nebraska where in the spring you're playing in really cold temperatures? Or if you've got that ability to be able to succeed and you can go play down in the South where a cold game is maybe 65 degrees or something like that, very rarely is a kid going to stay home. So if you push the start of the baseball, college baseball and softball season to April or maybe even mid-April or something like that and extend that season, I really think that you benefit the schools to the north of being able to recruit, and maybe we can get some more Big Ten teams that have a legitimate chance to make, you know, the College World Series and those types of things. And I know that, you know, UCLA and Nebraska, you know, were both regional hosts this year, but didn't have much success once they got there, and I think it would benefit them.
So. Yeah, I agree. Pushing the college baseball season back would be a big thing.
And those kids are there all summer anyway. Most athletes don't get to come home for the summer. So it's not like it was 40 years ago when your season's done. Most athletes, college athletes, are on campus doing some kind of workouts in the summer. So having your season go into the summer a little bit more at the college level, I don't think is a big deal for them.
No, I don't think it would hurt anybody unless you're a dual sport athlete trying to split that time. But you don't see that much.
Not very much. You know, and it's usually football and baseball. Yeah. And you're going to be fine.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of baseball and softball, we kind of off a little bit, Audubon. I'm trying to get my train of thought here. Exira Elkhorn Kibbleton ought to have been a great win last night over Riverside. Exira Elkhorn Kibbleton comes in ranked third in Class 1A. Riverside, I think, was seven and 2A. So a really good win for them. And in a week that, you know, me and you talked, a week that they could really get tested and find out how good they are. And they checked off that first box last night.
They did. I interviewed Tom Peterson yesterday for our weekly interview, and we talked about that, you know, they really felt like they hadn't been challenged, maybe besides that IECAM Manning game to start the season. And they had so many kids that were involved in track. We've talked about that. But, you had Riverside last night, Logan tonight. You got Trainer coming up, and then they'll play Atlantic and Astorville Lincoln Central down in Atlantic on a tournament on Saturday morning. And those are two strong programs as well. So, we're going to learn a lot more. And I think what we learned last night is Riley Miller is as good as we expected that she has been and will continue to be. I think the new pitches that she developed here in the offseason is benefiting her. We know that Taryn Peterson is still really good. Jordan Mulford's hitting the ball for him right now. Briley Peterson has hit a couple of home runs. The big question was, how would they hit the ball? They didn't hit it great last night. You have the stats because you wrote the story last night, but they only scored 2 runs. It's not like they were scoring 10 or 12 runs against good pitching, but their defense did the job behind Riley, and Riley did the job, and they got enough clutch hits to be able to win that game.
Yeah, Riley, I think 7 innings, giving up a couple of hits, no runs, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, and Taryn scoring both of the runs there, got on. I think
and
she went
4
for
stolen
two.
Bases, yeah. I think, last night, so aggressive on the base pass.
Yeah, and there was a lot
She's
of...
She's going to steal a bunch of bases.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I said, you mean you put her on the bases, there's no chance that... I mean, you can't throw her out at second because she's already going to get a big enough jump that she's there. And then at third, it's just a toss-up, but she's just so fast she can get from second to third. And but I tell you what, you knew Riley and Taryn were going to be good, But you bring in Briley, Jordan, Zoe. Yep. If they're all good, this Exira team is a top three team. But you need that production in the back half to be that top three team.
And so far they are getting it. Now, I'm going to bring up Taryn for a second. We talked about it here a moment ago. She's a state kid for track, so she's got speed. Mm-hmm. But I almost feel like she's faster on a softball field than on the basketball court. I think when she's running track, she's fast. But she's one of those athletes. I always thought it was the same way with Cody Case. He was a state sprinter for South Central Calhoun. But you put him on a football field, and I thought with pads on, he was faster.
Huh.
And I think Taryn's that way. I think her speed fits basketball and softball better almost than it fits track, if that makes sense
at
all.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
One thing I want to add about this Exira Wilcorn Kimmington Audubon team this year, Taryn can also pitch too.
Yes.
And she is a good option, you know, that they can go to, you know, to give Riley nights off. And you want to know another team that had that was when Audubon made it to the state championship game a couple years ago. They could throw Alexis, you know, as well, and they had versatility with good defense. That team didn't hit it the best as well,
right,
but they were girls that knew their roles and knew their jobs, and I think you've got a lot of correlation between that team and this team this year.
Yeah, you still have a decent amount of those kids, you know, still around and stuff, and they were on that team even if they didn't see the field a lot, so they understand what it takes to be able to get there, and I think they'll have a chance to do that and stuff. Right now, they're probably the one softball team that's playing extremely well here early in the season. Glidden Ralston, I think, is playing well as well, but they've had a little bit of a hiccup. They get that really nice win against Ogden, and then they turn around the next night and don't play as well as probably what they had the night before. So, you know, consistency, they're still young. Most of them are just going to become sophomores. You know, the vast majority of the kids that are playing are just going to be sophomores and stuff. And I think we put some pressure on them because they had all played a year ago. But they're still young kids and extremely talented over there. You know, but I think they're playing well. IK Manning had a nice little run, but they went 0-2 this weekend. I think they've got to find a little consistency, and I think part of that we talked about, so many of those kids were at state track, and I think that'll benefit them. But, you know, for most of the other teams in the area, it's been kind of a slow start for them in picking up wins, and hopefully that will get adjusted. Over on the baseball side of things, Kemper got a couple of nice wins last night over Clarinda. The first game was very controversial.
I got to figure out what happened, because I was listening to the end of that, and I thought we were going to extras.
Yep.
And I turned the radio for a minute, and the next thing I know, I turned back, and Kemper won.
I'm not saying any of the calls were wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. I think Doug agreed with me. The changing of the call late, and we didn't. They talked to each other down there, and I'm sure that, you know, that they gave the explanation to the Clarinda coach, and they have no need to come up and explain to us. But so it makes it tough for us in the booth. But so what happened was there was runners. I think it was first and second, with a one out, and there's a line drive over to first. Now, it did look like up in the booth that it short hopped into the first baseman's glove, like I'm talking really, really close, but a short hop into the glove. He felt like he caught it, and then he went over and stepped on first base because Alex Pudens had taken off for second and was standing on second. So he went over and stepped on first. They don't call anything. Pudens then goes all the way back to first base. The runner at third stays at third. And they don't call anything. So then the two umpires get together. They point over at first base and call out. And Clarinda comes off the field. You know, everybody thinks we're going to eight. Well, then the two Kemper coaches get together with the two umpires. They talk. The two umpires walk away from the two Kemper coaches, kind of get over by themselves. They continue to discuss, you know, the situation. They then turn, point to first base and call safe. So now Clarinda has got to come back out onto the field with a runner at first and a runner at third, you know, with two outs instead of the inning being over. And then before there's really even a pitch, we get a balk call on the pitcher scoring the runner from third to end the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, not saying the calls were right or anything. I know the officials, they're really good umpires, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of them doesn't call and try to explain to me what happened. They don't have to. I just wouldn't be surprised. But for a lot of the people in the stands and for us in the booth, we had no idea what the discussions were. And my point in the broadcast last night was, once you make a call, it looks weird when
you change it.
You change it after those coaches have that conversation with you. I think you have to stay with the call that you made, and stuff. So, but like I said, not saying any of the calls were wrong. It just looked kind of odd. And as I said to Riley last night when he came up in between games, I said, you know, good baseball game. Both teams had some errors. You know, it's early season. You're going to get that. But this, it was just a sad way, in a way, to have that controversy at the end of what was a really intriguing and good baseball game throughout the game. And then Kemper comes back and wins the second game 4-1 to get a really big win. Can't forget Coon Rapids Bears. They've been probably our most elite baseball team so far this summer, and they went over and hammered on Woodbine, who's a really good team, and handled them 7-1. Ty Hayden, we all like to talk about Cal.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. Don't forget Ty. Struck out 15 last night against a very, very good Woodbine club.
Seems like he's going to eat up a lot of their innings this year for him. Yep. You know, and then good for him, because he's might have made a taken a backseat to his brother the last couple of years, and now he's get the chance to – Cal's still there, but gets a chance to really show his stuff off this year. Yeah. He's done terrific.
Yep, and I think Ty's tapping Cal on the shoulder and going, hey, I'm going to stand next to you, you know, and stuff. And there's a competitiveness in that family, and I think that's what's awesome. Brothers that compete against each other, help each other, but compete each against each other to make each other better. But, yeah, Ty has been special so far this season.
He has. Baseball, softball again in full swings. You can check out the sports schedules up at sports.1380kcim.com. That's KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it in just moments.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 13. 13-